This is Pastor Dale Swartz, and I do welcome you to another broadcast of The Voice of Tomorrow. We welcome you to our broadcast today and encourage you to get a Bible and a piece of paper and get your Bible, and we'll study together as we look further into 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're studying the resurrection. Last week, we talked about a passage that was very unique. Paul mentions in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 29 about what is the reason for baptizing for the dead if the dead are not raised back to life. Now, in this passage, I want you to realize, first of all, this is the only passage in Scripture where anything anything similar to the statement of baptizing for the dead is even mentioned. Now, Paul is not condoning baptism for the dead. He is not condemning baptism for the dead. He is just using this simply as an illustration to those people who say resurrection does not occur. And he is acknowledging that in the pagan society of the Corinthian church, that practice of baptizing for the dead was taking place. And so by acknowledging that it was taking place, he is asking the question, if there is no resurrection from the dead, what is the purpose of this practice? He is going on, he's reaffirming the fact that resurrection is a reality. It will happen because Jesus was the first fruits of them that slept, the first person to come back to life, but this time to immortality. He is the first fruits of them that slept. We've already studied back earlier in the verses in the 20s here in this 15th chapter that we who are Christ's at his coming will be raised following when Jesus returns. The time frame for the resurrection is also put in this 15th chapter. He mentions that in verse 24, then comes the end. And it's those who are Christ at his coming, then comes the end. The resurrection of the dead back to life, but ever life everlasting, is going to happen at the end of time as we know it. Now, the world is not going to end. The world is going to end as we know it. Life will go on. Jesus himself is going to return to this earth. My friend, you've been praying for the coming of the kingdom every time you've prayed the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And you've been praying for the kingdom to come. And the coming of the kingdom is what is going to take place when Jesus returns. He's going to bring this kingdom, and he's going to begin ruling and reigning from the capital city of Jerusalem. He's going to make Jerusalem his capital, and he is going to be the king of that kingdom, and you and I are kings and queens in training. We, in this life, through the trials and tribulations that we are encountering, we are actually being groomed for rulership. And when we begin ruling and reigning, we are going to rule over the nations. The book of Revelation chapter 5 and verse 10 says that we're going to be ruling and reigning with Christ. Now, in this 15th chapter, Paul goes on to say in verse 32, if from human motives I fought with wild beasts at Ephesus, what does it profit me if the dead are not raised? Let us eat, drink, for tomorrow we die. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Become sober-minded as you ought, and stop sinning, for some have no knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. There was a lot of corruption in the city of Corinth. There was a lot of superstition in the city of Corinth. The moral value was really low, and Paul had to address a variety of situations due to their moral conduct. But what Paul is saying here, the hope of the resurrection gives a person a reason to believe in God and to contend for the faith and to go on living a Christian life, because when the resurrection occurs, we will be changed. We're going to be like Jesus. We're not going to be like we are today. There'll be no more sorrow, no more sadness. There'll be no more pain or suffering. There won't be the cancers. There won't be AIDS. There won't be dementia, all the other illnesses that we endure today and see and agonize over, particularly in the medical community, and we see raging in third world countries. We're not going to have those ailments anymore. When Jesus returns in the kingdom of God, those who are immortal will not be prone to those diseases. It'll be done away. We will be immortal like Jesus. Immortal means unable to die. Now, one key thing to remember is that God has always been immortal. He's always been immortal. And being immortal means you cannot die. And that is the reason God provided his son, Jesus, because God cannot die. He provided Jesus, his son, to be the sacrifice and to die in our place that we might have everlasting life. Paul told the church at Rome, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Our hope for eternal life is through Christ. And Jesus lived a righteous life. He died a horrible death, but God raised him back to life. Now, the point I want you to see here is that Jesus did in fact die, and God, his Father, raised him back to life. God has always been alive. God was in control, watching over the earth, watching over the universe, in control during the time that his son Jesus, 3 days and three nights, was asleep in death in the heart of the earth. And God brought him back to life. Two totally separate beings, and Jesus Christ is now alive forevermore. And the hope that we have for resurrection in this whole chapter of 1 Corinthians 15, the Christian hope that Christ has been raised from the dead and is the first fruits of them that slept, the hope that we have that in Christ all will be made alive, we have that hope because Jesus overcame death. God raised him back to life. That was God's stamp. The raising of Jesus back to life is God's stamp of approval that the sacrifice for sin was good enough. There needed to be payment for sin. Someone had to die. There had to be a blood sacrifice. In the book of Hebrews 9 and 22, it says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. There was no way that we could have forgiveness without the shedding of blood. And Jesus died in our place. And God raised him back from the dead and raised him to life. And this was the hope that you have. This is the hope that I have. The Bible hope for the church is in resurrection. And so Paul directs this to these people, these Sadducees and others who did not believe in resurrection. He said, if I fought wild beasts in Ephesus, what did it profit me if the dead aren't raised? Why did people, and in earlier passage here, why did people put their life on the line? Why would people be willing to die? People in the early Christians who fought to the death in an area with gladiators and being eaten by lions, and some of the Christians were used as human torches, as yard lights in the days of Nero, and when Nero burned Rome. People defended the faith and put their life on the line and died for this faith because they knew that God was the Creator and Jesus, His Son, had died for them. And Jesus was alive, and because Jesus was alive, we would be alive someday in the future when Jesus Christ would return and raise the dead, raise the believers back to life. And in the 33rd verse, he said, "Be not deceived, bad company corrupts good morals." What he's saying here, besides the way of living, if people associate with belief that is in error, it's going to corrupt their ultimate belief system and they're going to be fooled. And you need to understand what the Bible teaches. You need to study it for yourself to realize what is the Bible really saying. It's up to you to study the scriptures. You cannot take the word of someone else. You need to study it for yourself. And that is why I want to encourage you to re-examine these passages that I'm sharing with you, and you will see that I'm sharing with you gospel truth. It's important for you to know what you believe and to be able to stand up for what you believe, to contend, to fight, to be able to give an answer for what is good and solid and good moral values in today's society. And when I say to contend and fight is to maintain the faith when the world wants to make it go into shambles. And I want you to continue to study and to become a student of God's Word. May God bless you as you become a student of the Word of God.